John chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus is just about to leave from this earth and go back to his Father, and there he speaks to his disciples. And we're not going to, I don't think, take the time to look at those chapters, but I would encourage you to read them if you could while you're here at camp. If you have time to, I know you have morning devotions and you have your readings. But those chapters are fraught with teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples concerning the Holy Spirit. There's not a whole lot mentioned about the Holy Spirit prior to those chapters. John the Baptist said, "There's coming one after me that's mightier than I. And his shoes, I'm not worthy to unloose them, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." But Jesus really didn't focus on the outpouring of the Spirit of God in the early part of his ministry. I don't know if you find much of that, if any of it, in the Sermon on the Mount, or in the teachings that he gave as he went around from Galilee down to Jerusalem, up through Judea. He taught, certainly taught his disciples, certainly taught the crowds. But when it came near to the time when he was going to leave and the Holy Spirit was going to come, then he began to hone in more and more and more in teaching his disciples about the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit and the necessity that they be filled with the Holy Spirit, because if they're not, they can't do anything. And the work that he invested in them for however long it was, short of 3 years probably, but the work he invested in them during that time of teaching and ministering, it would be for naught if they weren't going to be able to get a hold of this concept that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for me. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be bold enough to proclaim for me. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to know what to say, because you don't know what to say, but the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance just what you need to say when you need to say it. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to know what to do and where to go. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. Those are the sons of God. And Jesus, he taught all that I had said, except that last expression, which was from the Apostle Paul. But Jesus taught them in those chapters again and again. He starts in by saying something, and then he goes to the Holy Spirit, and then he goes on to something else and back to, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit is coming, and then back to something else, and then again, but the Holy Spirit. And he ends it with his prayer. In John 17, when he prays for those, you and I, those who would believe on him through the word that the disciples would disseminate and on down through the generations, he prayed, "Father, that they be filled with the very same glory that you filled me, Father, that very same glory you give to them, my disciples, my followers." Now that has all to do with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized with or filled with the Holy Spirit before he went to minister at age 30. Before he went proclaiming, healing, speaking, doing anything. That's why he could say, not just he was a God and the Son of God, he was, but he was also man. And in this earthly body, he needed to go through life just like you and I go through life in our earthly body. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prayed, and he maintained communion and up-to-date contact with that anointing from on high on his life, so that he did only the things that pleased his Father. He spoke only the words that pleased his Father. He went only the places his Father told him and showed him to go. Oh, Lord, I too need to be filled with your Spirit. And in John, I don't know where these verses are. I can find them quickly enough, I think. In John chapter 15, Jesus, of course, at the beginning of the chapter, talks to him, the disciples, about abiding in him, remaining in him. And if you abide in me and I abide in you, then you're going to be like a fruitful tree. Then you're going to bring forth fruit that will glorify me. And then right after that particular section, or maybe even in the middle of it, in the 15th chapter, in the 11th verse, Jesus says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full or made complete. I've told you this because I want you to be filled with joy. My joy, Jesus calls it. Not joy like the world gives, but a different joy. Not just a happiness for a temporal time or something that makes you glad for a little while. But Jesus said, I want to give you something better than that. I want to impart to you and put into you. Now, how's he going to do that? How's Jesus going to put into these disciples his joy? My joy, the joy that my Father gave me, I want to give you that same joy, that your joy may be complete. Then in the next chapter, 16th chapter, it's in verse 22. It says, so with you, now, Jesus said, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. I'm going now. I'm not going to be here forever. I'm leaving, and I'll see you again, and it will be soon. And, of course, he was speaking about the coming of his Spirit. And then he says, in the joy that I give you at that time, nobody can take that joy away. Circumstances can't take that joy away. Problems in life can't rob that joy. You can't take that joy from you. There's that inner serenity, that inner exuberance, that playground on the inside all the time, where it's just always a joy in spite of the problems, in spite of the situation. Jesus says, that's going to happen. I'm going to make sure that happens. I have to go away, and when I do, I'm going to come again by the Holy Spirit's outpouring. And then the joy that I'm talking to you about now, I had no sense in me telling you this 2.5 years ago, because you weren't going to get it anyway 2.5 years ago. I have to go home first before the Holy Spirit comes. And when I do go, I'm going to then send the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and then my joy, my fullness of joy, my complete joy, the same joy that my Father gave to me, I'm going to stick it inside of you someplace. I'm going to do that by the Holy Spirit, who abides within your very heart, within your very soul. That same chapter, a little bit farther down, I think he keeps on going, in that day you'll no longer ask me anything, but I'll tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you haven't received. And because you haven't received, you haven't really, you haven't asked, you haven't received. So they're coming in to ask. And when you ask, you'll receive the thing that I want to give to you, the thing that I want to do for you. Well, we know what took place. We know that glory that God gave to his Son, that Jesus then prayed, will be given to his disciples and to all of us. That happened, the outpouring of his Spirit. In one of the marks that you read of in Acts chapter 2 is that they praised God. They rejoiced. They rejoiced wherever. And I'm not a very good barometer of this because I haven't been every place in the world. But wherever people have come in contact with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there's singing and there's rejoicing. And it's not just singing a song, not just any little song someplace, or pick a song and sing it. And that's not the kind of singing we're talking about. We're talking about a Holy Ghost song, a Holy Ghost praise, a rejoicing that God gives on the inside, and then it comes out on the outside all the time. When Paul writes to the church at Rome, he says, I'm sorrowful. No, it's Corinthians. I'm sorrowful, 2 Corinthians. Sometimes I'm sorrowful, but I'm always rejoicing. How could that be? Well, I'm not happy with such situations or circumstances. There are problems and there are difficulties, but I'm always rejoicing. You'll never find the Apostle Paul under the circumstances, because he had learned, I suppose, the secret of rejoicing in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. He wrote those words, if you recall, from jail. Now, jail in those days wasn't any fun. I don't know that it's any fun today either, but it's more fun today than it was in Paul's day. And he was in a dungeon, and I don't know what was running around and creeping and crawling next to him, and the stench and the smell. But from a prison cell, he writes that letter to the Philippians, the church at Philippi. And he writes in 17 times, I believe it is, in that short four-chapter epistle, he talks to them about joy and about rejoicing. Over and over, next time you're in your devotions or you're reading your Bible through and you get to the book of Philippians, maybe you want to take out some marker or pen if you happen to do that in a particular Bible of yours and just circle every time he mentions joy or rejoicing. He talks about how he is incarcerated and in jail and in chains, but I'm free and rejoicing. And yeah, there's persecution and afflictions and everything else, but I'm still rejoicing. And if you remember the story well enough, that church in Philippi was born out of a man, two men, that rejoiced. They rejoiced when it wasn't convenient or commodious to rejoicing, when they didn't particularly necessarily feel like it based on the outward circumstances. But Paul just didn't write it and tell others to do it, but he practiced it, and he lived it, and he experienced the victory that there is in rejoicing. I don't know which one of Daily Manna's readings on Uncle Hunt's little sayings, if you have the Daily Manna, you could buy it down at the bookstore at the boathouse. But every day you've got some little short sentence or two from the preachings or teachings of Brother Hans Waldfogel. You sell it down there. Sister Elsie, is it there? It is down there. And a number of them, more than one of them, will talk about praising the Lord or rejoicing. And Brother Hans used to say, it's like drilling through rock. Drilling through. I don't know if you've ever used one of jackhammers. And your teeth are bugging. And you, if you don't know how to use the thing, it's shaking you more than it's doing the what. But it's like drilling through, drilling through, drilling through, drilling through. But then it all of a sudden opens up into the presence of God. Praise is a shortcut into the presence of God. I think I have in my Bible in Chinese. So some of you that maybe know Chinese better than I do, can you read this? Well, not now. But you can read this sometime. I got the English copy on the other side. That's why it's in my Bible. I wouldn't have the Chinese there just for the fun of it. But Sister Robinson teaches that we need to aim to praise at all times. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. Good times, bad times. When you're sitting in jail and in prison with Paul and Silas at midnight, just gotten beat up and you're in stocks, praise the Lord anyhow. She teaches that. I mean, that's more modern than the Apostle Paul. It's not very modern, but it's more modern than the Apostle Paul. Aim to praise the Lord at all times. And sometimes it'll be like drilling through rock. Sometimes it'll be, you just have to aim to do it. You don't feel like it. You may not feel anything, but just praise the Lord. And before long, she writes, she says, the Holy Ghost will take up that in you. The Holy Ghost will take up that. You'll find yourself singing. You'll find yourself rejoicing. You'll find yourself living then in the presence of the Lord. And joy, Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:18, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, I didn't finish with Paul yet, but let me just say this about Peter. He's writing to a bunch of Christians that have been scattered because of persecution, and it wasn't an easy time for them either. But Peter says, I don't care what we're doing on the outside. On the inside, it's joy unspeakable. Now, how can you have joy unspeakable apart from the Holy Spirit? Tell me how to do that. If you can find a way to accomplish that, I would like to know. I would like to know if it's just give me the best dessert that you have in camp and that'll give me joy unspeakable and full of glory in every and any circumstance. It doesn't work that way. There's nothing outward that I can take somewhere, find someplace. My new car won't give me joy unspeakable and full of glory if I've got something going on wrong in my life or in my family. Nothing outward can satisfy or bring me that same satisfaction or joy. Only God can give me that joy. Only God can fill me with that kind of contentment, with that kind of serenity, that peace, and that joy on the inside. It's His kingdom, Romans 14 says. We come into a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so Paul and Silas are sitting there in jail, and it's midnight, after going through all that they went through. Now, I would like to think that if that happened to me, that I would do the same thing that Paul and Silas did. Right, Brother Jason? You and I just got beat up in San Jose. They hauled us out of Porch Light, and they hauled us down to City Hall, and they locked us up in jail. And here Jason and I are sitting there, and he's bigger than I am. And those stocks are no fun. I went in them one time, and where is the place in Massachusetts? Williamsburg, too, but there's a place in Massachusetts. Sturbridge? Is that Massachusetts? There's some restored old town there somehow or other where you go back to what they used to do to people in the good old days. And what they used to do when they were bad is they put them in stocks. And I was a kid, I figured, let me try this. Yeah, you could play around. This wasn't real. I didn't get arrested and put in stocks, but there it was that you could try it out. And so I went into the stocks. My feet got locked in the bottom and my hands over here. And that's not comfortable. Try it sometime. I mean, put yourself in, maybe it'd be a good object lesson for Sunday school someday. Get one of those things, go and Google it on Amazon and get yourself some stocks and bonds, and not the bonds, get yourself some stocks and hook yourself in there and maybe do it to your Sunday school class. And maybe send them home that way. The parents will rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then see after 10 minutes if they can rejoice. Oh, this hurts. Oh, I don't like, oh yeah. Why do we deserve this? This isn't fair. Anybody ever tell you that? Not fair. Get over it. Life's not fair. At least not down here. It'll never be fair. It won't be fair in your house. It won't be fair at camp. It won't be fair no matter where. Life's not fair. So just roll with the punches and do the best you can and be filled with the joy of the Lord, even when life's not fair. Even when the boathouse lady gave him a bigger scoop of ice cream than you got on your thing. How come he got that one and I got this one? Well, I gave him one ticket. He got this. I got that. It's not fair! Rejoice anyway. Rejoice when you don't feel like it. Rejoice when things don't go your way. Oh, that's what God wants to teach us. And that's something that I believe only the Holy Spirit can do. Here they are in stocks. It's at midnight. They just got beat up. I don't know what I would have done. I don't know what Jason would have done. Maybe if he started it, maybe I could have followed along. I don't know. But I don't think I could have started it. Could you? Sure you could. Sure I could. Full of joy, full of praise, full of glory. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. So what? We're in stocks and bonds. We're here suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. Well, we take gladly the spoiling of our goods. We do? I mean, you know, we do. I mean, the Bible says we do in the book of Hebrews. Take cheerfully the spoil. You haven't yet resisted unto blood. Come on, get beat up a little bit. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith is working something, a far more eternal, exceeding great of glory, reward and glory. Don't look at what's seen. Look at what's not seen. Keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith and rejoice and be joyful. Ah, all of a sudden Paul started in. I'm sure it was Paul that started it. I don't remember if it says so in the Bible, but I bet it was he. He all of a sudden started singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, Silas looked at him and said, you got a what? Who? Hallelujah? No, hallelujah. No, really? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on, let's go. Hallelujah. 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 And there they went. And they started to sing praise unto their God. I mean, they didn't know the hallelujah chorus yet. Messiah wasn't quite yet written. They maybe were the original writers of it. Oh, maybe the Holy Ghost was the original writer of it. Could that possibly be? Could it have been the Holy Ghost that inspired song in the heart of Paul? Well, who else do you think could possibly have done that? And as they began to sing, they literally sang their way out of jail. They literally sang a church into existence. You mean song and praising the Lord and rejoicing can do that? Yeah. That's what my Bible teaches me. And then when he winds up in the slammer, he's writing to that same church. And he says to them, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Oh, be filled with joy, be filled with praise, and be filled with glory. And over in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, we're taught these same things, these same ways to rejoice. There's no cattle in the stall, Habakkuk says. There's no olives growing on that vine. There's no olive oil in the vat. There are no grapes on the vine. We're all messed up here. We've got nothing to be thankful for, nothing to rejoice in. But you know what Habakkuk said? Habakkuk 3:18. Even though there's none of this around that I can see, yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will glory in the God of my salvation. Job said, though God slay me, yet I'm still going to trust him, and I'm still going to bless him, and I'm still going to give him glory, and I'm still going to rejoice in him. I know it's not that great looking on the outside, and I got a lot of things going on towards, but on the inside, there's joy unspeakable. It just wells up within my heart, and it helps me through the situation that I'm in. It helps me through, if not out of the situation, it helps me to get through the situation. Oh, it's God's way. And God wants to, again, as we said earlier, he wants to show us and teach us his ways. He wants to write them on the tables of our heart. Nehemiah writing, he said in the 8th chapter of his book, the joy of the Lord is what? Now, if I need deliverance and I need strength and whatever else we've covered tonight, and if joy and the joy of the Lord is the answer to all of those things, then I want joy. I want to get this elusive thing called joy that some people seem to have wrapped their hearts around and have it inside, and that others maybe don't, but I want to find out what that joy is all about. And I think the only way that Jesus can get it into us is the way that he got it into his disciples. And I'll make it full. And I'll make it complete. And it'll be in a few days now. I'm going, but I'm coming, and your joy will be full. Shortly before Brother Hans Waldfogel passed away and went to heaven, his nephew, Brother Edwin Waldfogel, went into his room. And there on Uncle Hans's knee, he had a little Gospel of John. I don't see those anymore. I don't know if they make them or not, but we used to, back in the good old days, they used to have these little Gospels of, or just Gospel of John, and maybe the New Testament, they still have those with Psalms in the back. But Uncle Hans had the Gospel of John opened up. And he was sick and at the end of his life and had lived a full life and had served the Lord well. And here he's got it open and he says, Edwin, these things have to be complete or full. And my uncle looked at his uncle and said, you know, what are you referring to? Well, in the Gospel of John, you read about fullness or a perfect love. In the Gospel of John, you read about perfect peace. And you read about a fullness of joy. And Uncle Hans said, you know, the Lord's dealing with me. God wants to perfect these things. He wants my joy, your joy. He wants it to be full. And only the Holy Spirit can put it there, and only the Holy Spirit can keep it there. And I pray that he does in all of us. Sister Mary Ann said this morning that the Lord touched her in her body and healed her, and she didn't need to take medicine anymore. I'd like to prescribe some medicine tonight. It's found in the book of Proverbs. I think it's the 17th chapter. One of those verses there, it says this: a merry heart does good like a medicine. I don't know. A merry heart. Maybe, I don't know what kind of medicine. Is a merry heart good for a headache? Yes. Is a merry heart good for what ails you? Is a joyful, thankful heart somehow or other able to take me through the hard places in life? I think so. But I can't produce or make this. I have to say, Holy Spirit, fill me with joy. Holy Spirit, pour out your Spirit upon me. The fruit of your Spirit is love, joy, and on and on and on. And so, Father, we thank you tonight for your joy. We read that you were anointed with the oil of gladness above your fellows. You must have been a very happy person to be around. Must have been nice to be in your company. I think it was a lot of laughing, a lot of rejoicing. I don't think it was sober or somber. I think there was a lot of fun going on in that group of disciples. I don't know for sure, but I kind of think so. There must have been a lot of singing. I know they sang hymns. I know they sang and worshiped and praised and sang psalms. Must have been a lot of that going around in those disciples' hearts. And Lord, I would have loved to have been there to follow you and to hear you teach of it. And then to hear you say, I'm going to give you the same joy I have. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to put it right inside of you, Peter. You're not a very happy camper. You're kind of grouch. You're grump. And I got to change that melancholy spirit that you have. And I want to give you a spirit of praise, a spirit of rejoicing. And that's going to take you a long way. It's going to carry you out of the difficulties or above the trials. It'll introduce God into the picture. It'll take your mind and focus off yourself. So, Peter, I got to do that in you. Thomas, you need it big time. You all do. But I'll come. And I'll come inside of you and fill you with my joy. Lord, and down on through these years and ages, so many men and women have been filled with the Holy Spirit and have been filled with joy. It's joy unspeakable. It's joy that doesn't make sense given the situations that they're in. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Lord, I have rather good circumstances. I think maybe many of us do. It's relatively easy where we are, especially here at camp. It's so nice. And Lord, yet somehow we can get away with not having this joy, not having the opportunities and ability to rejoice, and maybe the way that you'd have us to. But teach us, Lord, in the good times. So that when the more difficult places in our lives come along, that we don't go under, but that we know the way to be lifted out of and above. Filled with joy, filled with praise, and filled with glory. So Lord, I pray tonight that all of us, the young, the old, might come into a greater experience of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We thank you, Lord. Now, we're not going to practice right now, but Lord, we're going to practice tomorrow. We're going to practice in the kitchen tomorrow when we drop the dish. We're going to practice when we have something that doesn't go our way, when we are finding ourselves with more pressure than we know how to handle. Lord, it's at those times that we're going to remember to praise and worship and glorify you. It's at those times that we're going to look within to find the joy of the Lord. That's our strength. And so teach us to walk in the Spirit and to live in the Spirit, filled with joy, filled with praise, and filled with glory. In your precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's sing Peter's song. It's in our hymn book, Joy Unspeakable. I don't know what number it is. 446? 446. Thank you. 446. While you're turning there, these are Pilgrim Camp staff devotional booklets. They all on the staff have one already and have been using it since they've come to camp as a devotional, but these are extras. So Brother Paul has kindly made them available to all of us. So if you look at the first week, tomorrow, Thursday, and you could read the other ones previous, but if you want to read what the staff is reading tomorrow, I'll put them or make sure they're on the way out the doors as you leave. And if you want to take one, pick one up and take it with you and join with the rest of the staff in reading from these devotionals. Let's sing together. course, you can consider yourself dismissed, leave as the Lord wants you to or as you feel led to. If you're tired, go to bed and close your eyes and have a good night's sleep. If you have opportunity and feel you can stay a while to pray or wait on the Lord or praise or worship and just spend time at His feet, then do that. Stay as long as you'd like to. Let's sing that last stanza. I have found the joy of
Jesus, fill me with joy. Jesus, fill me with joy. Job